Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Into the Night, the Tuesday night edition with me, Sean Kelly, and I am on UPRN Talk Radio, 105.3 New Orleans, 107.7 Mississippi. I also want to thank Carnation for sponsoring this show. Just a reminder to tell you that on April 6th, we are going to have an open investigation at the Dudas Farm, D-U-D-A-S, Farm in Brownsville, PA. And it's for paranormal groups, and it's for people who want to experience a paranormal investigation. So remember, April 6th at the Dudas Farms. I will bring up more information about it before April 6th. So we can get. Hey, Kason, good to see you. I'd like to read something here before we get into the show. I found it last week on TikTok, the minute I came on the show, and I had to share this with everybody last week or Sunday. So I'm going to share it with you guys before the show because we have a very interesting show tonight, and we need all the time we can with my guest tonight. I am who I am. Like me, love me, take me, leave me. Know that I am a true friend to the end and ask for nothing in return, except two things. Don't hurt me or use me. And that was done by Anonymous. So tonight's guest, he was on last week. He's on this week too. Hey, Joe Fox, good to see you. Is my dear friend, Michael Anthony. And he has some more good stuff for us to ponder in our brains for the evening. So, you know, you watch the show and you go to bed and, you know, he can think of what Michael said and ponder it and see what happens. Without further ado, my friend, Michael Anthony. Good evening, Michael.
Hey, Terry Ho, friend. Anonymous. Funny you brought that up. No, I say that without any joke. There is a true Anonymous. And he's connected, I should say, to a red book that the government holds that reflects to visitations that describes up to 9 different species who have been visiting our planet. It's something called the Red Book. And every 5 years, it gets updated, which matches up to something that I talked about some time back. And I think it was with you on the show. It could have been under when we were doing Chasing Prophecy. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Point being is I made a comment on it that there is facts that we find behind disclosure drops every 5 years. And I think this is the connection of the Red Book. Now, he goes by Anonymous, and he is one of the ones that put out a lot of the information. On the information, I tried to get as much out because I know anticipation's everything. And you're at the end of a show, you got 7 minutes, and I just turned into, well, let me do the best I can to give everybody some juice here. Maybe they'll come back in and they'll check us out this evening. Mm-hmm. But Anonymous is the big factor of the DIA 6 MJ-12. And I think for sure that he is the editor of the Red Book. Now, I don't know if anybody knows the name Bill Ryan, but that's also very important. The name Bill Ryan. Carl Sagan, another big name that's important to the narrative of where I'm coming from and where the truth lies within the deep cover-up of what we deal with. But I truly believe these people want disclosure for the people. And I think that's part of why this the drops that Anonymous made on this story that then, thank God for Len, I think it's Lenny Kristen, casting, I think it's K-A-S-T-E-N, who put out a book also, which I got parts of his book, and I also caught him on Coast to Coast and a couple other places, and everything that I was finding was lining up, and I was like, he's seeing what I'm seeing, but I'm not writing a book, of course, and then he's talking about some of the actions within it, which we'll get to. I really want to get to that. And I tried to break it down the best I could to give the most clarity. So what do you think about that, Anonymous? Look, you know, maybe I should go by the name Michael Anonymous. I don't know.
No, why not, dude? Why not?
Well, I may have to because, you know, I feel like I'm being so punished. Look, I mean, we were talking in a green room about what the hell happened on Facebook today. All the people that I know on one side of the aisle who just want to stay silent, that never make posts about anything, they had service. But on the other side of the aisle, the ones who are more rah, 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 I don't know. You don't really do heavy politics. Your Facebook was fine today.
Right. Right.
We live in the same city. I don't know. So anyway, we have that. So let's go into the things, some of the things first before we hit the main story, the Jews about that Anonymous has put out there. And there are social sites to where this information also can be backed up. I just want to say that because people sometimes put you in the hot seat and say, where are you getting the information from? Show me the clip. I am the clip. I am the information, and I will try to give you the best that I can in content because you do deserve it when I know that it's protected enough to give it to you. But, and I'm not saying that I'm protecting anything. It's just sometimes it's not good to say everything. So check this out. Let's go back in history a little bit to the Aztecs. Something that people don't talk about, and these are why I like to get into a couple of these things before we go live. In Utah, okay, and then you have the Aztecs. And how do we know that they possibly may have been there? Well, because there are people speaking ancient Aztec languages called Yutec. And how would they know that language if there was never a mixture in the society for these two places of origins at some point in time in the past meet up? Because they're speaking it there. We look at them as the indigenous now. But who were they in contact with back then? Because they know the language. And it's like they moved from one place to another. Opens up a can of worms, is all I'm saying. And we need to keep stuff like that in the light. I'll give you something else that should be in the light. The Mythisms, okay? These were actually ancient Roman knight soldiers. Possibly from even before the Templars ever existed. With 12 devastating rituals to join the society of this dark society. They were before the Templars, the Freemasons, and it all has to do and goes back to the orders of the underground and how the establishment of that was. Now, only 3-4 years, maybe 5 years ago, this was actually found out in an archaeological dig. They know it's real, and everything I just described to you is something you can keep in the light. And if you want to research it, research ancient Roman knights. And that would be the best way I could say it. All right. Then you have the something I want to talk about just real quick. The Templars castle in Turkey. They're unimaginable when some people say, wow, these guys were everywhere. Well, they were everywhere. And where were they getting all the ancient technology from and so forth? Well, that goes back to possibly the Roman knights. And maybe they shared some of that hidden technology of building and so forth. Why do I say that? Well, even here in the state of Pennsylvania, Sean, because we're in Pennsylvania, I had to do this with you. Yeah. There's an old fort in Pennsylvania, okay? I can't remember off the top of my head. I got some notes.
Necessity?
No. It's a small fort, but here's the really cool part about this small fort. Using cutting-edge technologies, they've been able to put two of these places together and the basements match up in the same building with the same building perceptions and methods.
Oh, wow.
Which tells you, and you might want to question when you look at Oak Island, the theory behind here, but I got something on that too, but I can't talk about it. I'm gonna let my next guest on Thursday morning, if he wants to make mention about what did they find, the big find. It's now out, and a guest that I'm going to have on, Dennis Stone, fascinating individual that has New Hampshire Stone Age. His family's owned it. He owns it, and he's well-connected to Scott Walters and other people. He'll be on Thursday. Check him out with me. We'll be 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So anyway, bringing the Templars into that. I mean, they were also in Portugal. I mean, the Templars they were in Jerusalem. They were everywhere building these sophisticated. And when they did the LIDAR and they did all the stuff, all the alignments, all the designs and the arts, everything was almost spot on. How would Worlds Apart be able to match the same sophistications? They don't. It's because the people who represented the Knights were there. They had to have been there. There's no other thing. Which brings me back to another narrative, and I'm almost done here. We'll get right into the other thing that I know everybody's dying to hear about. At least you are, Sean. Thank you for that.
I am.
Who came to America first? Comes down to the question. Could it have been the Spaniards? Could it have been the Egyptians? Well, we have proof of that, too. But who came here first? Well, there's something really funny under the water in the Great Lakes. It's called the Circle. And in the circle, there is one stone with a megathon, whatever you call those creatures, right on the stone. And it's like before the water was ever there at the height that it was just a vast land of grass and for hunting and whatnot. And they think it's kind of like it was put in place the way it was put in place for the early hunter and gatherers to be able to hunt for, you know, their meals and so forth. Which again, you know, far sea before anybody else ever got here, we have evidence under the water there that somebody was here. Somebody was definitely here. On the last part of where I want to go with this is also, we have now in the North Americas, bone fragments that dated back 130,000 years ago. 130,000 years ago, where tools were made from them. So they dated the bones, they dated the tools, the designs and so forth, just so everybody knows there's something smelling here, but
no, yeah.
it's educational. And I like to talk about a little bit of that before we go into the show, because I want Sean to do this stuff. You know, I really do. I want him to push it forward, you know, get all the information you can, just share it out there. It's great. You got UF Paranormal Radio, UFO Radio. Hey, I guess you got a lot of, say hello and we'll get going.
Okay. Hi, Rose. Joe, good to see you. That's me typing all that crap in.
You know, oh, that's you.
Because I don't want to interrupt. You know,
okay.
Cindy and Kason, everybody who popped in, thank you for dropping in. Just like I write on the little thing here, tonight's guest is Michael Anthony. Buckle your seatbelts, everybody, because we're on the fast track tonight, man. I'm telling you.
Actually, you know, I felt bad after talking to you and told you if we didn't have to answer questions, we'd had enough time. I didn't mean it to be like that. I really didn't.
Hi, Cindy Coon. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, here's another wild story. As we're getting into the ufology, let's warm it up just a tad before we jump into this. In Brazil in 1996, the 1996 event was huge. I mean, there's paperwork to it where, you know, a craft came down and two alien beings. I mean, hey, look this stuff up. It's out there. Then you got Alex Kohler. I don't know. You probably know the name, Sean. Mm-hmm. Alex, you know, U.S. Army military pilot. His story, and he's out there with this story. He's out there usually with this, that he was on a spacecraft for 3 months, but only 18 minutes of time had passed here.
Wow. Wow. That's
pretty
insane,
crazy.
Dude. Yeah.
Yeah. As if they took him through a wormhole where time just froze still. And possibly that does happen when you hit these things where you get one dot to another. If they bend time with it and it goes like to 0 points together. Right. Possibly. I mean, who knows? But, you know, Alex says that that was part of what had happened. And who am I? I'd like to get him on a show to talk to him more about it. And, you know, and I have written to him. Maybe one day he'll get back to me. Not everybody has that time. All right. So let me throw this first part of the couple notes out of the way. Say hello back to everybody out there. And thanks for coming in. Hey, Joe's here. Undercover. Is that Joe really undercover or is that you writing?
No, that's me writing.
Oh, okay. Is Joe there undercover? Tell him to come in, man, because maybe he knows a little bit about this stuff. I don't know, but I'm going to do it the best way I can. So it all kind of starts with, you know, Roswell. And Linda Moulton Howe, as well as other people, talked about this, that there wasn't just one crash, that there was two. And that's kind of how this story started. But it gets widely bigger, too. Technologies being traded. And who were they? What were they? And the title that was given to the one alien that they did find alive, was EBE one. You know, he only lived for 5 years with us, and there was communication devices involved and so forth. And of course, when you're trying to reverse engineer something, you take it apart first to try to figure out how to put it back together the right way. And I think that's what they were trying to do. So while they were working with him and bringing in people with different types of languages to understand the vocalizations and so forth, we do it with Bigfoot. Why not do it with an alien?
Right.
And, you know, look at Ron Moorhead's been able to achieve with that and how far we got with that information. So there is, I guess, grasshoppers might have a language. I don't know, but they brought the best in. That's the point. And they were getting somewhere with him. They were making connections about 30% of the way on our English language. They didn't have total understanding of him, but they wanted this communication device because they know it was there. It existed. And it was much like a cell phone, by the way. It truly was. It had a screen. It had like foreign objects of some type of language on it. Well, finally, a scientist, as I said last week, came forth and decided that, well, maybe I can make this work if I put it back into the ship. So they reorganized, restructured everything, put it back in the ship, and bingo. They're able to make a connection back to planet Serpo. Now, Serpo is not where these entities originally came from. They came from another planet that had devastations. And these were people that were, they lived simpler lives. Okay, and I'll get into what I mean by that. So they basically take number one out and to where the craft was, and he starts to communicate. That creates a communication line of six communications. Shortly after that, into the future, jumping what we're doing with technology, them understanding it, we start putting moon tower bases up for direct communications, but with who? And where did it come from? Well, when we get into understanding the story a lot more, we start to understand the technology that the EBs had. So what had gone on here was conversations under the Kennedy administration. And Kennedy was not briefed into all of this stuff, okay? He just wasn't briefed into all of it. Johnson was more briefed into it, which he allowed things to happen after Kennedy's demise. But and DIA actually wanted to step back from it even, who was put in place because Kennedy trusted them more than he trusted our CIA. Mm-hmm. So the DIA was established, the DIA 6, basically. You know, it's kind of like an oversight committee, which the CIA didn't care for. Nevertheless, we're going through the lights and the strategy of all this stuff that I'm talking about as quick as I can, because Lord knows how much time I'll have left, but I'm going to try to get this all in. So we're working on all the same sophistications that are being shared and talked about through communications. And we, everything that I find in the findings through Anonymous that was put out there and that Len, I think, mentioned some of these things in his book. Now, I don't know if it was an entirety of a book. I don't own the book, but I did get some passages of it from texts and stuff. And I know he's on the money the way I was thinking with some things as well. I just always thought it was a fascinating story. So we put up these tower retrievers. We know how the communication system's working. We're working intelligently across the space, 240 trillion miles across space. Imagine that. It would take 9 months going through wormholes to get here, and that's what it took. So what they arranged for was basically a trade. And the trade was we were to have certain people trained under military professionals to prepare them for this journey and to go to live there for 10 years. In return, they were supposed to pick up the bodies, retrieve them, and so forth and so on. Well, that kind of happened, but didn't happen. Now, I'm going to leave some of the dates out because I really want to have some time in case you can answer some questions. So that takes place, but it doesn't take place. So they do come, and they come on time, they show up. But they refuse to take any passengers aboard with them at that point in time. So they pick up their dead, and while they're here, they give us a gift, and that's called the yellow box, holographic box. It's like a book. Funny part about this book, when we learned about it, because I'm going off narrative here, but it's an important fact as to why. Not only does this book shoot up like holographic images as you're reading page by page of the dictations of pretty much everything that you would ever want to ask or to know, it does it in whatever language through mind speak that you need to hear it in. So if you only speak Irish or Italian or Polish or Croatian or English, no matter who was looking at the book, 15 people could be looking at the same time. They all heard it in, through mind speak and their own languages at one time.
Wow.
Okay.
That's craziness, dude.
Furthermore, one of the hardest things of reading the book, and we're not sure where the book is. Nobody is really, and even Anonymous never came out to say, we have speculations that we know possibly where it is. And it's in controlled hands, is the best way I could say it to anybody, was the part that imagine this, Sean, you start to read through something and you're not really reading. You're looking at the holographs as it's coming up page by page, but you only get so far in it. And it understands how far you're communicating and how fast to give it to you at the same time. Some people read slower. Some people read faster. The images come quicker. The images come slower. It depends on the reader. It understands it. Talk about technology. It understands it. It's like it becomes part of you, like the space, like what we talk about in the spacecrafts. So knowing that, imagine having to start to read the book over and over every time, like 50 First Dates. The best way I can compare it to would be that movie, 50 First Dates. Not that I say I like the people or I don't like them, and I don't want to be held accountable for anything here, the way people judge, but imagine 50 First Dates, always starting the next day over as if the woman never met you before. That's the same way the book was devised. So we have this book. We also have the Red Book. So that's all established. We have dead people. They're going to retrieve them. We have contacts. Shortly after this last contact, and before that they came to pick up their dead, because EB1 did die. EBE did die. He died. So basically they were picking them all up, and they gave us the book. They said, we'll return. And they did. A few years later, they came back and there was a trade. The one part of the trade was we had one of their ships and they said we could keep it. They would leave one of theirs here in a ship that he could leave when the job was done, that they would teach us how to reverse engineer the ship. So we accept that and we give them 12 people. Some say it was more, but basically they were only looking for certain types of people to be on this ship to do this journey for 10 years, which turned out to be 13. And on the way there, one of our pilots died. So it gets a little intense here when I talk about this, because they took the body as we returned theirs to them. They took our pilot and used him for bioengineering of different creatures.
Oh,
now I want you to comprehend what I'm saying here and what we talk about. We have talked about certain things below level 7, part of my technology drop that I talk about that we could possibly be having our own hands in, but where did it come from? Where do we learn it from? So he was upset, and the professor, their doctor, whoever was of the same kind of equivalence to handle the situation said, I will show him to you and show you what we did. And when he went back and saw the differences from the examples that they take from all the planets, they were horrific. But they were kind, genuine people. So he didn't know how to take it until they got there. Mm-hmm. And when they got there, that's when it all started. Now, when they packed and logged everything, they took motorcycles, they took cameras, they took pictures. Over 30,000 pictures is what was released through Anonymous that said was taken and cataloged of their planet. It was also, it had two suns, so it never had darkness. As soon as one sun fell, the other sun was back up in almost the same position of the height of the first sun. So they were living in a binary type of environment, and they had to colonize this place as well. I think the record shows specifically that it was like just about 650,000 that existed on planet Serpo of these little people. I call them little people. They look Asian. They have blacker skin. They're not grays. They're not the abductees. They are actually sharing us technology, as I'm sharing to you when we look at everything that we know about. They also were at war, so they know war and they know peace. And how they basically were able to achieve defeat over their enemy was by using sophisticated plasma beams and direct energy weapons. Now, I want that to sink into your head because of everything we talk about now. It's all I'm saying. This is years ago. But just understand it, and we're exchanging technologies, keeping in touch. And some people feel now, and not there's really not as many of the OWO in place, the old world order of the Pentagon people and the people to know that have the information. But it just there's an alignment of information from this story way before much of what we're seeing now. And if this was all to be a manipulation or lie, which I don't believe in any way it is, oh my God. I mean, this guy was a genius that was doing the drops because mathematics, physics, everything was put in there. I'm leaving a lot out. But the point is this, it was all placed there. I mean, I don't know the name that you could make this guy. I mean, Tesla, like a Tesla or somebody of maybe even higher with higher heightened abilities of thought to create. But it's all focus points of what we look at, where we are now. So, yeah, we got the yellow book, we got the red book going, and we got stuff being dropped from Anonymous all over the place. We got science and technologies ahead in America. So through this whole period of time, one of the problems that they did have on this adventure was the way it was said, it was like sea rations to last for 10 years or rations of some sort like that. And they only lasted them through half the period, the first 5 years. So then they had it started eating the dietary foods that these EBEs were eating, which were like plant-based foods.
Oh.
Okay. So okay. I'm just saying. I'm just saying, okay? So in technology, one side to the other side, there's a lot starting to blend into what we're living with. Around okay, just you know, you can sure show you make judgment there, but I'm just laying it out the way it really is. So actually, we were supposed to pick them up in 10 years. Well, that didn't happen. It lasted 13. There was some type of loss of track of time scenario in this binary system to Earth's time. There was a difference. But in 13 years, they came back, but only 7 came back. 2 stayed, another 1 died. And that's the way we have it. Also, there was some skeptical things that were said. And if you look at some of the movies out there, there was a movie where you could see people walking down a runway onto a gigantic spacecraft where 90,000 pounds, 45 tons of everything you could need to go on a 10-year whatever you want to vacay or whatever, because these people actually were there like a vague. They were just observate everything and report it back, take pictures, bring the films. And this all did happen, took place. But also part of the narrative was they didn't want anybody to have any family. They were looking for people that were adopted, that had no connections. And I think Len best put it by saying his thought was, and all this and everything that he analyzed through the information was our government didn't want to have to deal with too much in the event that it was a total disaster on our side. And they had to go to the families and say that, you know, give them the worst case scenario news. So they were trying to look for very special people. 2 women also were supposed to be on the ship, but never made it to the cut. It started at 16 and it went down to 12. And there was not, according to any findings that could be specifically pinpointed on, that any women ever went on this excursion, on this trade expedition that they did. So a country there, 240 trillion miles away, folding wormholes to get here, which takes them 9 months. So they got back here. I guess they left around the 12th year our time and a little bit after, and they got here around the 13th year in our time, 3 years longer than everything was agreed upon. But I think that with the communication system that was planted on the moon and the direct communication going to their planet gave us a one-on-one scenario. Not only that, technology. which puts you in a place of how much technology and what the Red Book means, because we know when Emil Berg, and I was talking to Brad yesterday about this fascinating gentleman, been on Ancient Aliens and all these other things, was a guest of mine, 19 books publisher, researcher, first man to ever make the attempt to go to the Antarctic, and does it as an explorer, trying to get a big thing together for a documentary too for next year, by the way. So look up Brad Olson if anybody wants to help him out there, if you have the abilities to. It's going to cost millions to do an expedition like that. But nevertheless, we have something called the Honeyboo. And I got that verified, actually, through intel that came through Brad's side, that the Germans were the ones actually, the craft, circling Admiral Berg when that devastating scenario hit. They basically kicked our ass. So who gave them that information? Who's at the Antarctic? And now you have a secondary scenario in Roswell with two crafts, one with one space alien still alive, EB1. Linda Moulton Howe also talks about some of these scenarios. If anybody wants a backdrop on this, that this story is just older, but should be looked into as well as we can, because it connects dots on many levels of where we are in the United States and what we are seeing in the United States. And it seems like the sheer technologies may be being used that they received against their own citizens of the United States. And I don't want to say it that way in a political way, but it seems like it's adding up. It really does. When we look at Maui, cutting edge technology, plasma beams, how they won the war against the war that lasted over 100 years where they are in their time, but finally won using sophistications like this. We didn't exactly have them, but the times are all connecting too well. This technology, not to say that we didn't have proper science or people of education working on things, but I think the communications that we had and the fact that what I can't also find out, and I tried to write to Len recently to ask him, was there how many people, how many EBs came to help us figure out how to reverse engineer the craft that we had in our, I don't know if it was an S4, it could have been in Nevada test site, one of these places, but they came there, they worked around them. And I think sometimes when you see these little people walking around in some of these pictures, they may not all be science fiction, is all I'm saying to everybody. Same as when we talk about that, there was a video that was out there many years ago, and I'll get back to this shortly, but I want to bring this up. There was a video out there, and a lot of people tried to, you know, really determine, like, what is this? Where did it come from? And it was about an interview with an alien. Were you ever able to see that video? Maybe some of the people out there in UFO land out there who come to join your show have. And there was like scientists around, and there was some type of medical device in front of an EB of some sort. And it's being investigated on a higher level now, because there are things that people can't identify in this video, excuse me. But what we do know about this type of technology, sometimes they're one of a kind, and they're called one of a kinds. So when the best in the industries got the video to look to say, what is this technology, health technology? Because we knew why it was there. It was to help somebody that was having a hard time. It was EB1 from what we think and understand. And as he was going through wording and dialogue and conversation with scientists from wherever, we're not sure on that part, they kind of like fuzzed out the alien. And they sent this and told the scientists and some of the best and most brilliant labs in the country to say, what is this? And could it be something that is pertaining to a monitor, health monitor or something? And the replies came back because they didn't know there was an alien in the background, fuzz that. They examined it for what it was. And they said, yes, it looks definitely like things that we developed that are called for one of a kind purposes. They're used for one thing only specifically. And after that, they have no use. So you have something like that also in place, which where we get talk about health technologies. And something else that was pretty amazing was they were able to pick off, and I think there was over a dozen of them, that were able to pick up off the monitor on close-up reveals that it was identifying something with only one lung. It was identifying something that was just totally abnormal to what they would see on a monitor that would report on me and you versus an entity being a biological difference. Which gives prudency to the stories and backups of where I go with this. So you have overreach, you have the Red Book, you have something else too. So even after the return and they go on their merry way, in 2010, there was a fascinating meeting out on Johnstown Island in 2010 where the Vatican was there. Many representatives of many countries were there, and they returned for a formal visit and some type of possible agreement of treaty of them, us, etc., and the world. So that was on Johnston Island, and that comes up within the scenario that was also dropped by Anonymous, who I believe was part of the DIA-6. And I tried to round this out into a better way of discussion because of the time periods that we have. And I'm doing good, I can tell. But it's getting late. It's getting late. So here we have personnel that were brought in specifically to prepare with these people. Even though it took years of preparations and psychological mental health evaluations and so forth. Because imagine, Sean, you're leaving the planet with all these gorgeous women, beer, football, baseball, all the things you love, and you're going somewhere that's going to offer you absolutely nothing. So preparations would be absolutely important for one to say, hey, look, you know, this is not going to be just for the faint of heart. You're going to have to understand that you have nothing, as well as, you know, all men going, and there's not any type of whatever going on between, well, I don't know. To be perfectly honest with you, one actually stayed behind. That's another part of the record that was dropped by Anonymous, that one stayed behind. Now, why did he stay behind? Was there something?
He might have fell in love with an alien.
Exactly the point. And when you look at some of the objectives also, like where they used one of our own military personnel's body for DNA purposes, for bioengineering different creatures. Again, they've been nothing but kind to us with everything that was dropped and that we knew about. But I could imagine it being hard if a guy's told to walk behind him into a thing and said, I'll show you what we did. And he sees all these creations.
Right.
And if they're able to create with a human body through technology, imagine what happens below level 7 here. I mean, just saying, you know. So that's the gist of it. But I think one of the most fascinating things is the yellow box book, holographic box book. You know, I did post things about it. I was dropping hints because I wanted to do this kind of dialogue with you. And now that I have, I'll also keep in mind, though, Kennedy never really believed all of this would be. Yeah, but he said, OK, go ahead, do it. Let's make this trade. Let's do it. He died, I think, 6 months prior to it. And Johnson just signed off on it saying, fine, I'll do it. DIA was actually going to drop out and say, look, we want to wash our hands with everything. We'd probably all be better off. But somewhere in the backdrop of rich and powerful or the secondary government of the United States of America said, no, we're going to keep this going. And therefore, there was some ink put on the line for it to continue. And it did in 2010. Like I said, that meeting occurred. The Vatican was there. The Russia was there. There was people there, dude, on Johnson. And look, some of this is verifiable. People will take the time to research all those facts. So I know it sounds out there to be quite, sci-fi, but you know what?
No.
The proof's in looking and doing the research as I do. And I think it's a pretty incredible story. And, you know, the thing about it is, too, something else that happened that made a lot of sense to everything that was going on was the fact that when communication ceased upon after a certain time element that occurred, and the dates do match, I checked them, the 25-year disclosure clause, the NDA clause, is when Anonymous went wild dumping the information. And some people speculate that he's still alive, he's old, and he just wants the best information to get out and be dropped to everybody so we know and that we have our a place of disclosure. And I think we do. I think with his story, his work, and if he's everything the man who I think he is, the editor behind the Red Book, I would believe that everything I just said to everybody, what Lenny Kasdan said, is factual, and what Anonymous said himself is as well.
Well, with you and your research, and I know you divulge, you jump in doing your research, and yes, you are my good friend, but you know what? There's no need for me to say everything you just said is a bunch of bullshit, because I know you, okay, and I know how you speak, and with you being on the show here, dude. All the people that are in this room know you. So,
well, you know, I know it's a hard pill to swallow, but, you know, look how we're living every day.
Well, I mean,
is believing in the unbelievable so impossible? No, that's part of the cognitive clause.
Let me run this by you real quick. Why do you think why is it that the Vatican is so important in all these decisions that we come up with?
Catholics, the government, in the Catholics in action, CIA, Catholics in action. Well, I mean, because they go back to the foundation of the function, the Templars, the roots, the people, the prominent ones, the separations. You know, I mean, think about this. I don't think, people of the other side of the world ever really liked who they were in many ways. That's why the Templars came. Most of the roots that I have found out were dignitaries that were willing to give up everything to find their own truth, because right. They knew everything was being asked to them to do was a lie, all for financial gain. And then when the Templars became the financial gainers, the ones that figured out what banking was about, they became more powerful, and that puts impact. So when, you know, you're a pope working with several kings and you create a coup d'etat against great men in white robes and red crosses who fight for the betterment of people, you know, this is what you find out. And we know what they did with them, but they could strong arm people, and they strong armed their way into America. They strong-armed their way into our pockets, into our beliefs, and they led us on the magical mystery tour of lies in many ways. And I don't want to cut on people's beliefs. I know people have beliefs, and see, that's the hardest part when you talk religion versus this, and maybe I shouldn't even have went into this side of it, but the Vatican has to be involved. I mean, look, they had at one time the most powerful telescope in the world. They were looking up there, too, for things. They knew they existed. They probably have all the ancient technology, scrolls, and more that the Templars can deliver to the popes themselves.
Right. Well, you know what? I look at, you know, and just a little bit more on the Catholic religion. I'm sorry. It's falling apart.
Yes.
It's falling apart. It's not as strong. It's really weak now. You know, me and my mom discussed this when we were eating dinner, and it's not there anymore, dude. You know what I mean? It's just like people are taking their kids out of school. They're merging 5-6 schools, Catholic schools, and putting them into one school. And it's just, if good for instance, up there where I went to school at St. Bernard's. All right, in Mount Lebanon. And that's been St. Bernard's school church forever, right? And now it's called Michael the Archangel. The Archangel. So River says, you're good, Michael, and only telling the truth. People need to do their own research. Our lives pretty much depend on it.
Right. And I would say if anybody wants to research it, it's going to be difficult for you, but you'll find the answers I did. And I'm just sharing them out there. And I have hundreds of pages of stuff like this. And why do I have it and many others don't? But look, there's good groups out there. Tammy Times does great work, you know, in her disclosure group. UFO Man does great work in his disclosure group. They allow me to share my content there, my shows there. I do what I can for them if they ask me to. We are fighting for truth. We really are. And there is, you know, a certain substance above my substance of a group of people who are out there. But that narrates in a little bit different way. And look, I don't want to be a judgment to people and what they do. People need to do things. I get it. And I support the ones that do, too. Some of them come on my shows. But there's a placement and ways for all of us to have success and succeed. Mine comes with the pleasure of being able to just share history with people and facts. Other people have different ways and different mentalities, just like the church you're describing there. But I think after the big download of political jiva of garbage that was going on within the Vatican and little boys and so forth, I think that was a main killer. The funny part, though, that reflects around that is the one who became our governor in the state of Pennsylvania was the one that led the attack on the Catholic Church.
I think
that was may have been a reason behind that, that I've been trying to analyze into that system, too, because so much is covered. But I also think it has to do with what's underground here, what goes from underground here to the other side of the United States, what goes into, you know, S4. It doesn't matter. We have complexes underneath that with abilities and things and structures. And something else I want to bring up, I might have been when I talked to this on you. When we talk about the abduction 911, the 411, David's work, fascinating individual with good theories and many, 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 many truths of facts. I mean, he's done his homework. We cannot take out of the equation that this is not being done because of Bigfoot. But the thing that's bigger to me is what it takes to do what they did in the past 25 years underground would mean they would need to be hijacking people into a slavery system to build these functions down there. And think about this. When we look at some of the other narratives of what's going on, the threats of solar flares, the threats of hacking and, Earth's devastation with climate, what would best need to be put in place? To be in place underground before people ever arrive there, Sean. What do you think would be the most important thing?
Food, water.
Another government in control ready to handle the population coming under.
Oh, you know what? That was
we need
not
doctors.
In my mind.
We need
That's
nurses.
Interesting.
We need everything. And these are the type of people that go missing. And I'm not saying that we don't every once in a while find one mysteriously with a shoe here. I think that's a throw off trail. And I'm not saying that aliens in some way may not be responsible for it. We can go back to what Laura Eisenhower's grandfather talked about or maybe not have talked about. But I don't think it was an alien civilization that met him on the tarmac. I think it was the Germans. I really think it was the Germans because there are some people that said that there was an insignia on the side of one of the ships that represented Nazism. And if that's the case, that would mean the Hollyboos came down. The Honeyboos came down. They showed the technology. They forced us into an agreement. We got all these scientists that came into the United. All these things happened all at once. All at once. And we didn't just get a few scientists. We got like 2,000 people bombarded us, you know? And why did all these things take place? Why did they all happen? I don't know if it was actually extraterrestrial, this Grady Treaty. I think I call it Grady Treaty. Me, you and John Ventris once talked about it, I think on the show Chasing Prophecy together, but this is a factual piece of paper that we believe exists, out there. And, according to Laura, it does in fact. So who really, was it alien or was it a threat of sophistication because of how bad we got our ass kicked when we went to the Antarctic to prove we were more powerful? And, you know.
I believe the latter of what you just said.
The what of it?
The latter. You know,
oh, okay.
The
latter part.
I believe it's wholeheartedly.
Right. I mean, well, you know, the funny part about the cognitive dissonance is how many places you can interject theory of probability as well as interject just theory itself, because narratives fit. They do. But again, I wouldn't say it if I didn't think I had a little bit of something in my back pocket to back it up. Right. So people can think it was the Palladians or the Arians or whatever they want to talk about. And maybe in ways that we already had those meetings. And something else that me and Brad talked about was the fact that when the newspapers hit in 1952 of the 9 crafts going over our Capitol, and they had pictures of it, which made the papers, by the way, and it was released. I mean, nobody backed that story off. And then you have the Pink House in China. The same thing happened. And we were told through Berg that, you know, these things have capabilities from going from one end of the pole to the other in an instant. Look, if we were under a higher threat and they came in, us thinking that they were aliens, and that could be a pressure point that Eisenhower had to deal with, that he had to make agreements with certain people. And I mean, follow the money trail. Follow the people. Understand the components of the war. Understand everything we're living right now. Understand what we're learning and learn what we've learned from. And you may be able to fit that puzzle together, because I know I do. I can. And I would just say it's highly more likely that they had technology. They were in touch with something. They went there. They knew about something. Or they went there to hide, to plan and take sophistication and develop new weapons. Also, something else me and Brad talked about, but this is just in general conversation with anybody. No fly zones, no nuclears. I mean, but you can get a piece of the ice cube as long as you're from another country. And now we have a country in the East coming over who's going to build and interject right next to the cave hole, which we think Admiral Berg went into and discovered this mystical place of different beings. So, you know, it's just funny when you put all these narratives together, how it brings us back to conclusions. And I think in ways it did. I think it same with Bob Lazar, Forrestal, Bob Udine, Lieutenant Corso, Clifford Stone, Jacques Vallée, Philip Snyder, William Tompkins. I mean, these are guys that came out, whistleblower, deathbed confessions, or lived the remainders of their life screaming at the top of their lungs in many ways, "Hello, I am your disclosure, and I'm giving it to you." And what's Kecksburg? That's something else we can speculate on. Kecksburg might fit into that paradigm of what German really was, and it wasn't a satellite.
No,
but I don't want to. You know, I have friends here that are in this industry.
Yeah,
and so do you have friends in the industry that would disagree with us on some of that?
Yes.
But extreme. I can't call Lieutenant Corso a liar, because he was right at Wright Pat when he came in and made dialogue. If they missed that, I don't know. But I know other people had different direction of what they feel. And I'm not against that. A theory is what gets us to the next point of fact and focus. But just saying, Yacorn could be part of the Honeyboo system. They had several different systems. We know that.
Well, Mike, I'll tell you what. We got about 3 minutes before we got to get out of here.
See, I'm glad I took the short version versus the long version.
But hey, we put a lot out there, right? Yes, I appreciate you coming on.
Hey, thank you, UPR and Radio. I appreciate it. I really do. And your show, Pittsburgh Paranormal Society. And if I'm not mistaken, on April 6th, it's a Saturday, Thutis Farms in Bronzeville, yours truly will be there hosting. So make sure you check out Sean. I'm going to try to get there myself, too. I already told you that. We talked about that.
I will try, I promise. Yeah, that would be awesome. But again, thank you, Michael.
Not a problem. I'll stay with you in the back room after I have a cigarette with you. Now, cut out.
All right, brother.
Thanks, everybody. I appreciate you. Please try to like and share to your Facebook pages.
Please share. All right. So everybody, I'll put you in the green room, my man. Don't forget, we got the donuts and the coffee back here.
Nothing like load again coffee. So I drink at home and at work.
Well, everybody, what a show. What a hell of a show. man, I'll tell you what, it was good to see everybody pop in. Mike had so many good things to say tonight that I really did not want to interrupt his conversation. So that is why I was answering you guys in the room here. But it was a great show. Thank you for all coming in. I hope you picked up on something that could help you, like when you go to sleep tonight and you dream about it, that something might pop in. Thank you, Jack Warren. I appreciate it. Kason, thank you for popping in. River Rose, thank you for popping in. My cousin, Mr. Ventrice, thank you, sir, for popping in. And everybody, Cindy, everybody who joined us tonight, thank you for coming in. That's going to be it for tonight. And as usual, children, if you can, please go to your parents, give them a hug, and tell them that you love them. And parents, please go to your children, give them a hug, and tell them that you love them. And if you don't have no parents, and if you have no twins, okay, no kids, I'm sorry. I'm just so excited about this show tonight. Give the person, you know, a hug. And you, it's up to you if you want to tell them that you love them. If they don't want to hear it, then, you know, you just say it in your head and you just keep that to yourself. But give them a hug, because those three words, I love you, go a long way. And on that note, everybody have a good night. And I will see you Sunday night, this Sunday night coming up. So good night, everybody.